Our scripture is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. We'll read verses 5 through 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what is commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I feel like I've been saying this every time after I read a scripture. That's a tough one. That's a difficult one. But it feels like this is another difficult one. But I think the difficulty lies not necessarily in Jesus' words, but how we've perceived them and how we hear them. So I want to talk a little bit about a separate thing to help us get around to understanding what Jesus might have been saying. There's this idea that we see the world through lenses. Okay? How many of you got glasses on? I can see, right? Now, when you look through glasses, those lenses change the way that you see the world. Now, we wear glasses so that we can correct our vision and see the world differently. Now, sometimes there'll be those funny glasses. We see them around Christmas time. You put them on, and then every bit of light has like a star on them or a snowman or something. Have you ever seen those glasses? They exist. You'll have to trust me, I guess. There's the real thing. But our lenses change the way in which we see the world. So let me give you a few examples. We'll start with a fun one, I think, because we are in the heart of the big blue nation, right? So imagine you're watching a basketball game. I think y'all do that around here. Okay. And somebody's dribbling the ball, and he goes into the lane to make a layup. But then there's somebody else there and runs into him. Now, if the guy dribbling the ball, going up for the layup, has on a blue jersey, what's that called? A blocking foul, right? Now, if the guy playing defense that gets run into is wearing the blue jersey, it's a charge. That's just the way it is. Sometimes the guys are wearing the white and black stripe, the refs, they don't know that rule, and you have to get mad at them, right? Our lens of being Kentucky fans change how we see that play. You understand? Now, there are more important, believe it or not, examples of this. One of the most striking example I got was walking downtown somewhere late at night with some female friends. They see the world differently than I do as a straight white male, right? We're walking along, and they're like, "We gotta see that guy over there? He might be trouble. We better walk a different way." I said, "Which guy? I haven't even seen this guy." They're like, "Yeah, we've been watching him for a block already." Women have to see the world in a different way than I do, because they're much more danger for their health. Now, one thing that we can do when we hear about these lenses is we can, "Oh, well, you're blowing that out of proportion. That's not a big deal." We can try to learn from it. One way that I've tried to learn from it is when I'm walking around late at night or in the evening and I see a woman, I was like, "She's probably worried about me. Let me walk on the other side of the road so that she doesn't have to worry about me." I try to do that. And it's a pain in the butt. I got to walk out of my way because she's worried about me. She's worried for her life. That's a small inconvenience to me for what she has to deal with every single day. So when we start to understand these lenses, we can do good work to try to be better about the way that we're operating. Now, I share those with you because I think there's an important lens that we view our world when it comes to this scripture. Jesus is asking some very serious questions. And this is one of those questions that Jesus asks already knowing the answer. It's a rhetorical question. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep and say, come here at once, take this place at the table? The answer is nobody. Of course, you're not going to say that to a slave. Or would you rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may drink. Of course, that's what you'd rather say. This is your slave. You're going to boss him around. Do you thank the slave for doing what is commanded? No, of course not. These are important questions. Jesus sums up this teaching by saying, when you also have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. Do your work. Don't ask for more. The lenses that we view our world in is similar to that. When we work, we're expected to do our work. We also expect there to be some rewards, some payments for doing that work. Whatever your understanding of work and reward or pay, I want you to be mindful of those as we talk about this scripture. Because depending on your generation, depending on your gender, depending on your background, you will have a different lens through which you understand work and pay or reward or what you're expected to do. Does that make sense? Now, I'm a younger person. I'm a millennial. Ugh. You guys heard about millennials and our work ethic? What are we? There's an E word. Entitled. Have you ever heard millennials are entitled? The trophy, participation trophy generation, right? Have you heard that? My millennials over here, is that, heard that before? Yeah. Just lazy. Entitled. We expect to be given things without working for them, right? That's the lens that you've seen the world through. And when you get down to it, if you actually talk to any of these millennials, we work pretty hard. Y'all go tell Miss Ashley that she's not a hardworking teacher. See how that works out for you, right? We have these lenses that we view the world through. We expect the people that want things should work for them. We expect when we do work, we ought to be rewarded and paid for them. Now let's go back and maybe ponder some other lenses through which this scripture might have been heard. Picture for a moment, 150 years ago, and you're a slave owner in this neck of the woods. How are you going to read this scripture? This is probably one of your favorite scriptures. Slave starts demanding more? No, it's right there in the good book. Jesus tells you, and tells us, do your work out in the field. Tend to my crops. And then when you're done with that, I expect dinner on the table. That lens of being a slave owner. That's a pretty good scripture. I like that. Of course, when we go back and we try to understand Jesus's lens and his culture and his society, it's different from all of those. It's different from ours. It's different from those slave owners of our past. There's a difference. Jesus doesn't have any of those deeply held things. Slavery in that time was a little different. It wasn't always the abject slavery that we remember in our history books. But still, the sentiments are the same. Do your work. Don't expect much. That is your place to serve and to do what is needed. Now, it's important, I think, for us to go back to the beginning of this chapter. And I've told you, we follow the lectionary, and I don't know why the lectionary did not bring up these passages as well. But the entire context of this parable, why these apostles are asking the Lord, increase our faith, is because Jesus had told them what they are expected to do. So we'll start up at verse 1. Jesus said to the disciples, occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. But be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day, turns back to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive them. So let's start back a little bit. Jesus tells us occasions for stumbling are bound to come. It's a fact of life. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to sin. There are going to be times where we fall short and are not able to be the people that God would want us to be or that we want to be. That happens. But he goes a step farther. Woe to anyone by whom they come. If you're causing someone else to sin, that's even worse than that person themselves sinning. Now, as a parent, this comes back. Madeline has gotten me a couple times. So we've started hunting a little bit. We do. So when Grandpa passed away, we got his 410 shotgun. It's a fun little gun. It's perfect for Madeline. So last weekend, we went squirrel hunting. She missed twice. I got it. She loves squirrel, by the way. So do I. Now this past weekend, we went out. We found a dove field. It's like, well, she's not going to try to shoot at a dove. But as we're walking up, there's a sign that says, this is a dove field. There's no target shooting. Okay. So we get set up. I said, Madeline, you missed the squirrels last week. The sign says no target shooting, but we're the only ones here. I think we can set up a little target on that tree and you can practice if you want. She said, no, the sign says to not to. And you've told me that there are things that are right and things that are wrong, and it doesn't change whether or not somebody's watching. She didn't say it exactly like that, but that was basically, it's not a word-for-word quote, but she got me. I was like, you're right. We're not supposed to. We won't. We did get one dove, and I missed a whole bunch, and at one point she says, you don't deserve a gun, which was hilarious. That's fine. But back to the scripture. Woe to anyone by whom those stumbling blocks come. I was almost a stumbling block to Madeline. There are times where we are unfortunately stumbling blocks for others. Those are the times where we need to repent as well. But then we get to this example that Jesus says, be careful and be on your guard all the time for those stumbling blocks. If another disciple sins against you, rebuke them. We have this expectation of calling out sin when we see it. If we see someone who is falling short, who is stumbling, who is sinning, it is our responsibility to rebuke them. But it's also our responsibility, if they repent, to offer that forgiveness. And Jesus says, even if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back seven times evenly and says, I repent, you must forgive. Seven times a day. I told the Sunday school, I don't think there's anything that I do seven times every day. I don't think I go to the bathroom seven times a day, to be honest with you. Seven times, you're going to hurt me and sin against me seven times a day. And if you ask for forgiveness, I'm supposed to give it. That's ridiculous. Which makes sense why the apostles right after that say, Lord, increase our faith. We can't do that. That's impossible to forgive someone over and over seven times a day. And again, that seven is just continually. They're just hurting you all the time. How am I supposed to do this? And in that context, Jesus gives us this example of the master and the worthless slaves. You're just supposed to do it. You don't need any more faith. That's what is expected of you. If a master can expect their slave to work all day and come in and prepare supper, God, as our master, expects us to do the seemingly impossible task and forgive others. That's Jesus' lens. We, of course, again, don't live in a world that Jesus spoke this parable. We have a different lens. It is impossible to forgive someone over and over again. How serious can their repentance and their apology be if they continue to do the same thing over and over again? If my neighbor, I told the Sunday school, if my neighbor dinged my car 7 times a day with their car going in and out of their driveway, I'd move my car. It just makes sense. This is our lens and the world in which we live in. And this is also important because just like those slave owners of our past might have loved the scripture telling their slaves how to act, we still have folks today that use a scripture like this to hold people down. How many women are stuck in loveless, terrible marriages because a woman's place is at home? A woman's place is to accept what her husband does. This is a passage of scripture that is used through that lens to cause real harm. How many bosses treat their workers this way? You got a good job, just do what you're told to do. What I'm paying you is enough. Doesn't matter if you can afford your medication or not. Be thankful that you're doing what you ought to do. It's a difficult scripture because we don't live in Jesus' time. We don't have a lens that Jesus had. And it's easy for a scripture like this to be viewed and spoken about in our lenses in a way that's absolutely terrible. But it is important to forgive. It is important to follow Jesus' teaching to be loving and merciful and accepting. Sounds impossible sometimes, but there are aspects of Jesus' teaching that, as impossible as they are, Jesus expects us to do. Now, yeah, we might not forgive someone for sinning against us all the time without any kind of difference. But there are people that we view each and every day, people that we think poorly of, people that we harm with our words and our looks and our actions. Jesus expects us to stop. Jesus expects us to be loving and open and forgiving. As impossible as it is, we have the faith to do those impossible things. Amen.